right. Y'all ready to learn something this morning? We're ready to grow stronger? Huh? Because we're in the gym, right? We in the gym. We're in the church. We're in the environment where it can happen. But just because we're in it doesn't mean we're going to get in shape, right? Because I know from experience that I've walked in a gym many times and walked out not in any better physical shape than what I did walking in, because I wasted my time in the gym. How many of y'all ever wasted your time in the gym before? Anybody? All right, so what can happen if we're not careful is we can waste our time in the church house and we can just show up and we can have this fake thinking that just because I show up in church and I sit down that I'm going to grow stronger. That's not necessarily true. Amen? All right, you got to put our eyes and minds together. We got to get the weights out and we got to lift them. And so we're going to go to the Word of God this morning and He's going to speak to us. Why? How do we know that? Because every time that we open up the Word of God speaks. And so if you are here today, which you are, then you have ears today, which you do. We're going to ask that the Spirit helps us to hear what thus saith the Lord says to us today. Amen? All right, so if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. And we are going to read Psalm 14, verse 1. Psalm 14, 1 through 3. Psalm 14, 1 through 3 says this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word today, and we come to this message series this morning, help us, Lord, to grow stronger in you. Help us to hear from you today. Help us to realize where we're at so that we can look to you, to where you have called us to be. And Father, may we listen to your voice today and may we heed your sovereign plan for our life so that we may walk in your truth. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue with our body growing stronger. Last week, we talked about our mind. How many of y'all focused your mind this past week? Huh? How many of y'all intentionally worked your mind out for the glory of God? You are concentrating on your mind, thinking on things above, setting our mind in heaven, setting our mind in the things that God wants to, and living that out. So I hope that was helpful to you. Now, just because we go on to the next body part area doesn't mean we lose our mind. Amen? Because remember, we realized, you know, I believe that the state of America as a nation and as a church, that we are in the emergency care unit. And we are in critical condition, and all of our body functions and aspects are going out, and there is a need right now for our mind. You know, we're brain dead as a culture, and our minds need to be made alive. I believe also that we're blind, that we need to be made healed by the power of God so that we can see clearly. I believe churches all across America were blinded. And so we need healing to happen. And so as a church, as Living Water Church, we can't change what other people do, but we can change what we do. You can't change someone else, but you can allow God to change you. And so the revival is going to start with us. Right, the old saying, the old adage of the revivalist coming up and preaching about a revival and telling you to go out into the driveway or someplace and take a piece of chalk and draw a circle, and then stand in the center of that circle and say, Lord, revival starts here. It's going to start with me. It's going to start with you. And as we, as the people of God, get our minds healthy and our eyes clear, we're going to see God move. I don't believe that this is doomsday for the church. And I don't believe that everything that we're seeing around us doesn't mean that that all, you know, just, oh no, everything's falling apart. I have a pastor friend of mine who reminded me that that the world is going to hell. And we all say the world's going to hell. And guess what? It's always been going to hell. Ever since Adam and Eve, the world's been going to hell. Go back and look at history. It's always been chaotic. It's always been crazy. We're not near as bad as Rome yet. We're heading quickly that direction. Okay? But here is the good news, that there is a God who loves us and who stepped into our mess and brokenness and our sin so that he might deal with that and bring us grace. Isn't that good? Because we just read in Psalm 14 that there is none righteous. God looks down from heaven and he sees, is there anyone who understands? Is there anyone who does good? And he looks and he sees that there is no one, no one who does good. And so in order for our eyes to be made, to be healed this morning, we've got to realize that there is no way that any of us can see clearly apart from the grace of God. That the lost world acts lost because they're the lost. And so what we've got to realize is that we as believers this morning, those of us who claim the name of Christ, you got to go back and check and realize that when you gave your life to Christ, was it because you were just so grand, gloriously smart and you thought, I'm going to be a Christian? Or was God, the Holy Spirit, massaging your heart, wooing you and pulling you and calling you to his grace? How did it work? The Holy Spirit worked on you, didn't he? The Holy Spirit opened your eyes to see the greatness of God. And so this morning, those of us who are believers, we must realize that our eyes have been opened by God's grace. And now that we have eyes that are open, we can see him for who he is. And so because we can see him for who he is, we are to allow our eyes to grow stronger in him. So this morning as Christians, we're going to focus on our eyes this morning. If you're not a believer this morning, guess what? I got good news for you. You're here. Why are you here? You may say, well, I'm here because my wife wanted me here. Or I'm here because my husband wanted me here. Or I'm here because I don't really know why I'm here. You're here because God is working on you. See, the person who's just completely hard of God and doesn't want to have anything to do with God, they ain't going to show up to church. I mean, why would you show up to church Sunday, especially at 8:30? I mean, who'd do that? Either people who have a heart for God or people that God's massaging and working on them. So if you don't know the Lord this morning, guess what? God is going to speak to you this morning. Amen? And so we're going to look at our eyes. How can our eyes be made strong? How can they have stronger eyes? Well, we must have eyes that are opened by his grace. That's the first key, right? That's the first key. We have to have eyes that are opened by his grace. And once we have eyes that are opened by his grace, then to have strong eyes, we need to have eyes fixed on his face. We need to have eyes that are fixed on his face. Let's look at some couple of verses. In Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs says this, my son, keep my words and treasure my what? Commandments where? Within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. That word apple there in the Hebrew literally means pupil. As the pupil of your eye. Keep my commandments as your pupil allows the light, and you can walk into dark places, and your pupil will change sizes to help you see clearly. And when you walk out in bright places, then it'll change sizes again to help to make sure that you're seeing clearly, that you're seeing correctly. If we are going to be fixed on his face, the number one way that this is going to happen is through the Word of God. That his commandments, his teaching, the gospels, the letters, everything in the book, that our Bible becomes a priority in our life. Now remember, we talked about our mind last week, and the reason why our mind is so corrupt is because we're allowing the world to influence our mind rather than the Word to influence our mind. And so if our mind's not focused on the Word and our eyes aren't locked in on his Word, then we're going to have trouble being stronger as a Christian. You're going to be weak. You're going to go all through life, and then when the devil comes up and he goes, boo, you're going to be like, But if you've been pumping up with the word of God, and you've been growing stronger, when the devil comes at you, you can speak the word of God back to the devil. You see, because the Bible says, resist the devil, and he must flee. He has no place in the life of a believer. And so we get to have our eyes fixed on his face. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look, how? Directly. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Now, when you have eyes fixed on the face of God, when you have eyes fixed on his face, this means that you are walking straight towards him. Your eyes are focused on him. And if God's face is on us, can I tell you, friend, that's a tremendous blessing. When I researched this week, as I was doing my studying, and I researched, I got a Bible program and stuff that I use, and then I typed in my face. And there's a lot of passages when God speaks about his face being turned from a person or from a people. And when God turns his face from a person, that's not a good thing. When God turns his face from a people, that's not a good thing. When God turns his face from you, then he allows other nations and other things to come upon you. Judgment comes. I'm afraid that we may be living in a day when God has turned his face from our nation. I'm afraid for some people that God has turned his face from some of our churches. And how horrible it would be if God turned his face from us so that we cannot see him. And so that he turns his face from us and allows the calamities to come upon us. So it's important, Christian, that we seek the face of God, that we're locked into his eyes, that our eyes are fixed on him so that we go directly to him. Y'all know about horse racing, right? We know about horse racing in Kentucky. And they got the horses lined up there and they're running. And what do they put on the horses? They put blinders on the horses. Now, why do they do something so silly as that? Huh? Keep them focused. Keep them straight ahead. Don't let them be distracted by the other horses, right, that are going along. They want to keep them faced. And this is what the Word of God helps us to do. It helps us, puts the blinders on so that we are focused face to face with Jesus. Now, we often talk about, you know, we ought to be in the center of God's will. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. What center? What part of the center? Because in our culture today, we'd be like, well, what really is center? You know? Well, what part of the center? Well, how much of the center? So instead of talking about the center of God's will, how about just seeking the face of God? Because if I called somebody up and I said, just follow my face, just look me eye to eye, just look me eye to eye, and wherever I go, you go. And if you would just lock your eye on my eye, and you would just follow me everywhere I would go, that's where you'd be. Right? If you stayed locked on my eyes, I could take you anywhere in this room, and you would end up somewhere, and you would think, how in the world did I get there? Totally by being locked in to the face. That's the beauty of a Christian life. You lock in on the face of God. You seek his purpose and plan. You read his word. And when he beckons you, you just go. You just follow. You follow him. You follow him as he leads you. You follow him. And you let the word of God light your path, light your way. And he takes you to some amazing places. You know, guide you into great things. Remember Peter? What did Peter do when he was locked on the eyes of Jesus? He walked on water. How many of y'all think that's an amazing thing? Only four of you? Have you ever walked on water? I mean, if y'all ever walked on water, that's amazing. He's walking on water. He's out there walking on water. And then what happens? When he takes his eyes off of Christ, he begins to sink. So we got to have our eyes that are fixed on his face so that we may avoid that which distracts. Avoid that which distracts. Look at your name and say, avoid that which distracts. What is that? Whatever that is for you that distracts you from God, avoid that. What distracts you from God? What is it? What distracts you from God? Avoid it. You see, John said in his letter from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, now it's not talking about people here. He's talking about the world system, the world's way of thinking. Remember that Paul said to us to be not to be conformed to, but to be transformed. He said, do not love this world system, because if anyone does love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love this world system more than you love the Word of God, John says the love of God is not in you. You need to be saved today. You've made a false profession. It wasn't real. For all that is in the world, he says, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from where? From the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives how long? Forever. He says, avoid the lust of the flesh. Now, our fleshly nature has a lot of desires, doesn't it? And our desires can be good desires and wholesome desires and wonderful desires, but our desires can be used in wrong ways, right? This desire for sex is a good desire that God put into us so that we can obey his command to populate the world and have family. But when misplaced and put in the wrong place, it becomes a dangerous thing. When it comes outside of the marriage bed, it's very dangerous. It kills and destroys. So there's a lot of desires that we have that God puts in us that can be used for good. But Satan can also twist it and use it for evil. There's a lot of selfish desires, though, too, isn't there? Those will kill us. The lust of the flesh, the things that get our flesh going, that is anti what God would want us to do, we would say, get those blinders on. Don't let it distract you. Don't let that distract. Whatever that is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the materialism. Things, I want more and more and more. I gotta have this, I gotta have that, I gotta have this, I need this, I need that, I need this. Oh, and we just want. And we get more. And the more you get, the more you want, the more you realize this ain't working. And so we have all kinds of stuff. And so we have yard sales. So that we can sell that stuff that we don't want to get more stuff that we want. And it goes on and on and on. The boastful pride of life, the lust of pride and ego. And I want to be known. I want to be seen powerful. And I want to be the boss. And I want to do this and I want to do that. I want people to know that I'm on this committee and that board and this. And I want people to know me for being such a great, awesome person. That's stuff that the world seeks after, right? Not what the Word says to seek after. So whatever it is that distracts you from Christ, whatever it is, whatever lure, whatever bait that Satan uses for you, right? How many of y'all fish? Y'all fish with the same bait for every type of fish? Y'all use different bait for different fish? You have different hooks for different fish, right? Talk to me, come on. You all sit and stare at any other church around here. I ask you to talk to me, engage. You use different lures, different hooks, all that for different types of fish? Yeah. Yeah, so that's what Satan does. So he knows what tempts you. He knows what bait to use on you. He knows what to put in front of your face to distract you. And if you're not in the Word of God, and if your eyes is not fixed on His face, you'll be distracted. And when Satan drops that line in, and you hear a bloop, and you see that, and your eyes go on that, now you're in trouble because you can't follow Him by looking at something else. Amen? If He's here and you're looking over here and He moves there, you're still going to be looking here. Can't happen. Our eyes got to be fixed on His face. Our eyes also have to be full of His light. We have to be full of His light. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 1:8, this is an observation Solomon made, all things are wearisome, he says. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. Right? Have you ever had that problem? You get something new, and then 6 months later, they come out with what? Something newer. I mean, you're always, you know, your eyes are never satisfied with seeing. It's always something with the eye. The ear is never filled with hearing. It's observation Solomon makes. Look at Proverbs 28:22. It says, a man with an evil eye hastens after what? And does not know that want will come upon him. Greed. Greediness will kill you. It'll take your eyes off of Christ. Your eyes will become dark because you will begin to think that wealth is your God. You'll begin to think that if I can just save enough for my retirement, then I will be fine. And you can work yourself to death and exclude God out your whole entire life and work, 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 and save, 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 and have, have. And it can be gone. Just like that. Riches is not the one that we put our hope in. Remember about a year ago we talked about that. Why put your hope in riches when we can put our hope in the one who richly provides? Why would you put your hope in riches when you can put your hope in the one who richly provides? Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on what? On earth. Why? Because this world is passing away. Isn't that what John just said? This world's passing away, so don't fall in love with this world. Don't let the lust of this world capture your eye. Let heaven capture your eye. He says, this is Jesus. Do not store for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where our eyes need to be focused? In heaven. I'm going to come down there in just a minute. If you ain't going to tell me. Just like we set our mind where? In heaven. Remember, to set your mind in heaven where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He says, store up yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We'll talk about our heart later on in this series. Now look what he goes on and says in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be what? But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of? If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, Jesus says. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot. This is Jesus speaking. Now get this here. You cannot serve God and wealth. It's what Jesus says. You cannot serve God and wealth. For one will get your priority. One will capture your eye. And where your eye is where your treasure is. Because what you look at and gaze at and focus on determines what's, it shows what's here. And so whatever captures your eye, and whatever your eye is locked onto reveals where your true priorities are. Whether that be money, whether that be power, whether that be thrills, whatever it is that captures your eye reveals what's already in your heart. So therefore, what? Put the distractions on. Put the blinders on. Walk straight. Walk fixed on His face. Be full of His light. Psalm 101 gives us a good tip. You ready? I love stuff like this because this is like just, I mean, you can write this down, you can mark this down, and this can be very helpful for you, be helpful for me this week. This is what we're going to kind of focus on. Look at Psalm 101:3. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. So whatever that distracts is, realize what that is and don't set it before your face. Don't set worthless things before your face. He says, open, turn my eyes from looking at what? Vanity, and revive me in your ways. Turn my eyes away from the stuff that doesn't really matter. Open my eyes, he says, that I may behold wonderful things from what? Your law. Well, if we're going to have stronger eyes, the last thing we need is we need eyes focused on his gospel. Focused on his gospel. How many of y'all remember reading in the Bible about a man named Paul? What was his name before it was Paul? Saul. And he killed Christians. He was a terrorist. And he destroyed families and lives. And he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians and to kill them. And then he was encountered by God, and God did a miraculous thing. Well, throughout the book of Acts, there are times when Paul shares his testimony of how God worked in his life. And in Acts chapter 26, verse 14, I only got one verse on there, Jackson back there. So just wait, I'll get there, but I'll read this. And he's telling his story, and he says, and when we had fallen to the ground, this is when God, remember, God spoke to him, knocked him down. They saw a bright light. He heard a voice from heaven. He knocked him to the ground. He says, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. He says, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Now look at verse 18. To open their eyes so that they may, what? Turn from darkness to light. And from the domain of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Sending you, Paul, so that in the same way I opened your eyes, you may proclaim the gospel so that their eyes can be opened. You see, the greatest need that your neighbor has, the greatest need that your family member has, is not to get a job, though they may need to get a job. The greatest need is not that they can get a new house, though they may need to get a new house, or that they can have a car, though they may need a car. The greatest need that they have is, if they're not a believer, for their eyes to be opened. That's the greatest thing that they need. They need to know Jesus. Why? Because they're in the dominion of Satan. They're lost. If they die, they spend eternity in hell. Their eyes are blind and they're in the dark. They need to be opened. That ought to matter to you. That ought to matter enough that you can talk to them about it. You see, here's the thing, church. Don't be deceived. Your life is not the gospel. No one is ever going to look at your life. You know, I know we have some people like to say, if you preach often and if necessary use words. I have no idea where that came from. Satan, probably. Because here's the thing. No one is going to look at your life and say, wow, look at Grant. Man, he's such a great guy that I realize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. Nobody's going to get that from my life because my life's not the gospel. My life is a witness to the gospel. The gospel is this, that man's got a problem, their sin. God's got a solution, it's through his son Jesus. And that Jesus went to the cross, he died on the cross, he was buried in the tomb, and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. And that if we turn and place our faith in Jesus, we'll be saved. That's the gospel. That's what you need to learn to say. You need to learn how to say, man, we're all busted up, broken. But there's a God who loves us, who sent his son to die for us, that if we'll believe in him, we'll not perish, but have everlasting life. Share the gospel. If our eyes aren't focused on the gospel, we're not an effective Christian. If all we're worried about is Bible study with no feet behind that Bible study, it does us no good. If all we're worried about is singing with no action behind the singing, we're fooled. The gospel must be a priority in the life of a believer. Their greatest need is for their eyes to be opened so they can be removed from the domain of Satan to the everlasting kingdom of God. How often do you pray for someone that doesn't know Jesus? Should be every day. How often do you take opportunities to share about the good news of Christ? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to speak it, to share it, to tell it, to allow the gospel to be something that comes out of you. Because it's glad that our eyes are open, isn't it? Boy, I'm going to heaven. Woohoo! Good for me. Sorry about you all. I'm going to heaven. I've tasted and seen how good God is. I want that guy whose kid's on my son's baseball team who don't know Jesus, I want him to know Jesus. I want his wife to know Jesus. So that they can raise their kids to know Jesus. I want that person that works beside me, I want them to know Jesus. And so Jesus at one point has this radical statement. He's using hyperbole to make a point. He says this, listen. If your right eye makes you stumble, he says tear it out. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. That's what he says. What's he saying? Jesus is saying that there is absolutely nothing that this world has to offer that's worth going to hell over. Guys, gals, that image on that screen, is she really worth it? Is he really worth it? Is he worth your gaze? Is she worth your gaze? And you go to hell? Is that new object? Man, is that so lustrous and awesome? And do you need that so much that your eye's been captured by that material object that it's worth going to hell over? That ego, that pride, do you want to be known so much that you're willing to fix your gaze on the pride of life and go to hell over it? Lord, help us. Today, this morning, if you don't have your eyes fixed on Christ and his cause, do not let the distractions of this world capture your eyes and spend eternity in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Because Jesus has come. He's come to bring us life and hope and peace and mercy and grace. And He's got a better life for us. He's got eternity for His children planned out, where there's going to be no more dying, no more curse, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. And if we fix our eyes on Him, oh, wow. That's what He wants for you. That's what He wants for me. And so this morning, let's do an eye examination. Let's ask, is my eye fixed on Christ? Have my eyes been opened by His light? Am my eyes full of light and clear and focused on the gospel? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, we realize the importance of our eye. And Lord, we don't want weak eyes. We don't want eyes that are distracted easily to this world, to the lust of this world. And so, God, I pray that You will search our hearts and our minds this morning, Lord, and that You'll speak to those, that You'll speak to everyone in the house this morning, Lord, and You'll help us to see, Lord, do we know You? One, do we know You? Do we truly know You? Are we captured and captivated by something other than You? If so, we need to repent of that. Have we ever received Your grace? Lord, if there's a man or woman here this morning that's never received Your grace, would You speak to them, Lord, and call them out of their sin to Your glorious Son? And Father, for those of us who know You, Lord, if we've been like Peter and we've been walking with You and we've got distracted by what's around us, Lord, help us to repent and say, Lord, I know I shouldn't be looking at that. That shouldn't have my eyes. You should have my eyes. Lord, may this be a great day of return to You. Lord, may we seek Your face today, the next day, and forever. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's come. Let's respond. Let's move.